So the reading for this morning is, I put anonymous because I was looking at some inspirational blogs online and she simply signed Emily. So I don't know Emily who, but she wrote these beautiful words. Will you go with the flow, giving the love that is in your heart so that others may be carried in its current? Will you honor a dream by taking a leap towards it, closing the distance with bold action and intent? Will you accept your own love and care for yourself, nurturing your spirit from an endless source of respect? Will you let it slide, the imagined slight, the minor irritation, and trade it for the peace that comes from a mind at ease? Will you give back for no other reason than it is simply the person you choose to be? Will you walk in faith, knowing all that is lives inside you, and it is inconceivable to think that you are ever alone? Will you dwell in possibility where imagination takes over and doors open before you even knock? Will you? One of my friends recently interviewed for a job where he was going to be placed in charge of communications and general organization of four different food banks in the Hartford, Connecticut area. My friend is tender-hearted, he always has been, and he's wanted to work for the good of his community for a long time. His wife helped him to prepare for the interview and then waited on pins and needles for him to come home and say how it went. And my friend was overjoyed to find that he got the position. And he hurried home to hash out every moment of the interview. And his wife listened excitedly and then said, "So how much are they offering you? You know, what's your starting salary?" My friend was quiet a moment. Oops. He hadn't even asked the question. Many of us have been there, I bet. How could he ask that question? This job was not about money. It was about doing what he loved, about service to others. It would have looked bad to ask about compensation. My friend's wife knows her husband well, and she loves him because of who he is. But she also felt personally hurt when he told her that he hadn't thought to ask about how much he'd be making. She thought about letting it go, knowing how happy he was in this moment. But she finally decided to say something. She said, "You know, we're thinking about starting a family. Our utility bills are through the roof. We have student debt we will never be rid of. And you didn't ask how much you'd be making?" She felt her husband had neglected to think about an important part of their well-being, money. One of the most crucial resources they needed to create a more meaningful and stable life together. Money standing on its own was not what mattered. What mattered is what the money would be used for. Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Greg Ward asked in his sermon recently, "Have you ever had to fly across the country to be with someone who needed you desperately? Have you ever sent flowers to show your gratitude for a relationship? Have you ever needed to take your child to the ball game so they could meet their hero, or to the emergency room so they could heal a broken arm? Have you ever had to offer one of your loved ones treatment for addiction after they had tried to use drugs to mend a broken heart? Ever buy your spouse a coat because your heart demanded reassurance that they are safe and warm?" And then Greg asks, "Are those not decisions of love? And is money not a central issue in each of those decisions? Greg is not saying that money can buy or even create love. I think he is saying that sometimes we spend our money on things that truly matter. We spend our money in service to love. But even still, I have always strongly disliked talking about money. Money itself has become a value in our capitalist society. Money for its own sake. Money is rarely seen as a way of nourishing things that matter. It's special when we hear about a business or an industry that is life-giving and fulfilling for all who are involved. The word and concept of money has been deeply tarnished by a society hungry for excess and a financial system committed to creating ever greater disparities. Probably because when I think of money, I think of all of those things, I strongly dislike talking about money. I spent many years denying that I had any relationship with money at all. I avoided budgeting, thinking money is not what's important to me, so I don't need to pay attention to it. And let me tell you, that did not work out very well. It has felt to me that there is something unnerving, almost dangerous, about acknowledging the importance of money. Like, my spirit could get poisoned just by talking about it. But perhaps it is valuing money for its own sake that is the poison. To crave excess, lots of money just for the sake of having it, probably does mean that a part of our spirit is hungry for something we are not getting. We spend excessively on empty things for the same reason. I know when I am buying too many things that don't nourish my life or the lives of those around me, it does feel empty. Money in of itself is not unethical or damaging. It is what we do with our money that determines its nature. In 1870, John D. Rockefeller founded the Standard Oil Company. And today, the Rockefeller family's charitable foundation is worth $860 million. That's just the charitable foundation. And much of the Rockefellers' wealth comes from the oil industry. But in September of last year, the current generation of Rockefellers decided to divest all of their assets tied in any way to fossil fuels. They are committed to taking concrete action to face global climate change, and money was their vehicle for doing the right thing. When we spend out of generosity rather than an empty desire for things we don't need, our money can be a vehicle for good. It is traditional at Unitarian Universalist memorial services to have a moment for communal sharing. Everyone can come up to the microphone and share a memory about the person who has just died. And at Barbara Brooks' memorial service last Sunday, there was a steady stream of people coming up to the microphone to share about how she had lived her life out of generosity. The chapter leaders of the League of Women Voters came forward and shared that when there was work to be done, Barbara often took on way more than was expected of her, and she didn't tell anyone about it. She'd just work quietly, get it done so others could do other things in their free time. And then the leaders would look around and say, well, we need to get all this done. Who's done it? Oh, Barbara. Barbara already accomplished that. Friends shared how generous Barbara was in their time of need, giving endless hours at lunches or on the phone to listen. And Jeff Chard from our congregation stood up and shared that when he was board president, when Barbara had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, she came to him and said, "I'd like to give a gift, a monetary gift to the congregation, but I want to be around to enjoy it." And she wanted it to go to something that would benefit the congregation as a whole. And so I didn't know this, but Jeff shared that the beautiful flooring in the back was given by Barbara. Fulfilling, bold, and with an eye toward the future, these examples show us that there are spiritual and ethical ways of being in relationship with money. I want to point out that using our money in a bold and visionary way does not mean self-sacrifice. Generosity does not mean utter depletion. Unitarian Universalism emphasizes the worth of human life. And the hope is that you will be energized through social action. You will experience a growing sense of wholeness and the warmth of spiritual well-being when you share your life with this church. We do not promote self-sacrifice. We promote generosity and compassion as a way of strengthening our interdependent web of life. Unitarian Universalism does not call us to empty ourselves, but to fill our hearts through acts of generosity and compassion. It is unacceptable to sacrifice your health, well-being, or stability for the life of this church. And I have to remind many of our people who devote endless amounts of time here. I'm here 3 days a week and see the same people devoted to a life of church, and I think, don't sacrifice your well-being for us. We all need to pitch in. But we also don't believe in financial self-sacrifice. You will find as we do our stewardship drive so that we can keep the lights on and dream big next year, we aren't going to say everyone has to give this amount. And that's because we all live with different situations. You may be retired with a fixed income. You may be going to school right now, or you're taking care of your parents or sending your children to college. You may have medical bills, loans, a change in your job situation. Only you know where you are right now and what you and your family needs to be financially healthy, happy, and stable. It is unacceptable to sacrifice your health and well-being for this congregation. But the truth is that it feels good to give what we can. It is not the amount, but the intention that comes with the gift. It feels good to push ourselves to give boldly. Our giving should not harm us, but we should feel it. Notice the amount we are giving, if we are giving to something that truly matters. I sat down and did some budgeting recently. Since I can't escape being in relationship with money, I figured I'd make sure I was spending my money in a fulfilling way. And I read an article in Psychology Today that said, giving improves your sensitivity toward yourself and your sensitivity toward others. It can lengthen your life, make you feel more relaxed. And I thought, okay, I'll sort this out. Student loans, car payments, utilities, all of it didn't feel so fulfilling to think about. But what did feel fulfilling at the end of my budgeting was thinking of my time here and deciding that I see great potential in this congregation, in every single person that I've had the honor of getting to know thus far. And I decided that I'm going to pledge 5% of my income to this congregation, from whence it came. And it's a little scary for me to say that because it's a commitment, and commitments are scary, and now I have to do it. It feels like I'm pushing myself, but not too far. My pledge is not self-sacrificial. Steve and I may need to sacrifice a few frivolous things or some of our excess But we are not sacrificing our well-being. And who knows, I may give more next year, but right now, my pledge reflects a not self-sacrificial, but a bold commitment to this community. And in some ways, as I said, this particular conversation makes me particularly uncomfortable, because when you see our pie charts during the stewardship drive, you will find that the minister's salary accounts for the largest proportion of our operating budget. But I believe in the work we are doing here together, and I know that we need money to do it. I know that we need money to keep the lights on, but also to one day outgrow our wildest expectations of ourselves as a congregation. Plus, I want to give to our church, for a cold, hard facts reason, that I can see where my money is going, and I like what I see. I see each week that the coming together of our lives and community is making a difference. I observe people getting something out of their interaction with church, whether it is caring for one another by visiting another congregant in the hospital or hospice, baking a casserole or soup, sending a card, or seeing someone who looks sad on a Sunday and asking, "Are you okay?" I see people learning things about themselves and what they believe in our adult and children's religious education. And I believe when I see people sharing from their personal experience and learning from the experience of others, I believe I am watching you slowly build your own system for creating meaning, your own system for strengthening your spiritual and emotional resilience for the hard times we will face. I see us strengthening our ability to be grateful for what we have, and I see us engaging in the greater Utica community to figure out how we will best be a positive difference there. I see where my money is going, and on a practical level, I think it's well spent here, which is why I will give boldly to my church. As a congregation, we are living in a time of great possibility. I want to leave you with the words from our opening reading. Will you go with the flow of giving the love that is in your heart so that others may be carried in its current? Will you honor a dream by taking a leap towards it, closing the distance with bold action and intent? Will you accept your own love and care for yourself, nurturing your spirit from an endless source of respect? Will you give back for no other reason than it is simply the person you choose to be? Will you dwell in possibility in a place where imagination takes over and doors open before you even knock? Will you? With hope for a bold and visionary year ahead together, I say, amen.